Does anyone else have this feeling, right, where you just want to be able to click an easy button for social media content? And not just any content, but like really, really good content, you know, custom content, content that truly shares your business's story and compels future clients to want to reach out to you and meet with you, right? So I went out on a hunt for this easy button, and spoiler alert, there isn't one. However, I did come across a framework and a strategy to make custom content easier and more compelling. Max Kringen, who is the chief storyteller at Tellwell, generously shares all of these really amazing professional tips and tricks to create killer content. He's got a formula, a four-step formula to introduce, educate, engage, and remind clients. And I love this interview. We cover a lot of different things, but we really get into, you know, Max really breaks down each category of this formula and gives specific examples of how financial advisors specifically can use each step to connect with their clients and prospects. He also gets into some trade secrets on the most powerful strategies to create, produce, and then my personal favorite, repurpose content. And we also talked a lot about a lot of strategies that really relate to your client experience. So this episode is all things social media, but really like a lot more. We really talk about how to, you know, start to build your story and your brand voice, you know, in addition to all of Max's social media formula and content tricks and tips. So I really hope you enjoy this episode of the Efficient Advisor Podcast. And hey, I know you're here not only because you're awesome, but because you know it's possible to have an abundance of energy left over for your family and still have your dream business. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. And you know the business that I'm talking about, the business that you are running instead of it running you. And if you're new to The Efficient Advisor, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Libby Grywe, and I started Built and Sold by Age 37, a 100% referral-only planning practice, and grew it to seven figures as a solo advisor, all while working just 3 days a week and taking off 14 weeks a year. So I'm all about being efficient and effective and having fun in the work that you're doing. So I'm here just to walk alongside you and to show you how to do exactly the same thing and to help you take immediate action on the most important strategies to scale, organize, and create less stress and overwhelm in your business. So we are about to transform your practice. So move over exhaustion and advisor ADD. It is time to take that one right next step to build a business and a life that you love. So let's dive into this episode with Max Kringen. Okay, Max, I'm super excited that you are here. I really want to, so I always mention this when I'm interviewing people, but we always pre-interview, right? Like I don't just let any hack on the show. They have to be like the real deal. They have to be working with financial advisors in the financial advisor space. So I'd love for you just to share with our listeners a little bit about how you got started with Tellwell, and then how did you really start working with financial advisors specifically?
Yeah. Well, Libby, I'm really excited to be here as well. And thank you for identifying that I'm not a hack. And
I'm not a hack.
I love that. I love that. It feels very good. My Midwestern roots are like, I am affirmed and we are ready to go. So about 8 years ago, I was sitting down with some friends. We were all in the healthcare marketing space, and I was working as a digital marketing strategist, leading a team of social folks and email folks and digital ad buys and all that jazz in a large healthcare organization in the upper Midwest. We don't really name them because they're giant and blue and everybody knows who they are. Fair. If you're from the upper Midwest. So was doing that. And one of my responsibilities was managing our agency relationships. And so we worked with this company that it was just kind of a mediocre experience. It was not relationship driven. They always wanted to be the smartest people in the room. Like if you brought them ideas, it was like, here are the 38 ways that won't work, but here, let us, like, you know, jack up our retainer and do something else. What I found out was that we were spending like $30,000 a month on Facebook posts and Twitter posts. And I was like, what? Like, that's like several salaries. Like when you start to multiply that out. And so I sat down with a couple of friends who are also in the healthcare marketing space. And we were like, there's gotta be a better way. There's gotta be a more efficient way to be doing some of the work that we're doing. So fast forward, we were at our college watering hole, which is a place called Mix Office. It's the type of place where, like, you know, there's carpet on the floor, but then there's also carpet on the walls, and like very, very classy place, just like just like ripe for ideas. And so that's really where Tellwell was born. Tellwell originally was telling the story of wellness through community. So we get going, we're doing our thing, we all have our full-time jobs. And then very quickly, we realize, like, healthcare is really boring. It's really hard to get into. Budgets are so tight, except for apparently this organization that I had worked for. And so it was just like, it was no fun. So we started working with some other folks, and we really started to hit our stride in the social media marketing space. Fast forward, about 4 years later, we are like right in video. We love video work. Video is one of our jams. And the VP of the Northland region at the time was getting ready for their award show. And so the Northland region of Thrivent, I don't know, do we talk about specific folks?
You can mention it. No worries.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And so she was creating these really custom, unique works of art as the award. So it wasn't like some corny trophy or like etched glass. Like,
oh my gosh, thing. I have so much etched glass. Oh, and right? So many like plaques with green marble on them with yes. gold inlay. Yes.
Yes. And so if you know this person, Erica is a brilliant leader, and she also comes from an art background, right? Her mom, I believe, curated a gallery. And so she loved art. And so she was like, instead of giving out glass with marble underneath it, I'm going to have these custom made. She didn't know how to share the story. And so, because it's like, if you just get this like little painting, it's like, what? Why? Where's my etched glass? And so she actually came to our team and was like, we need to tell the story of like why this is so cool and why this matters. And so through that was really where we got an introduction to Thrivent. And since then, we've been creating a lot of video content for Thrivent. We support them with some of their creative outreach and things like that. But really, probably 3 or 4 years ago was really when we started in the financial space, specifically working with financial advisors. Since then, we've had an opportunity to highlight some really amazing folks at every step of their journey, from the advisor who's like 6 months to a year in, just like passing their tests, and like they're crying and like, I can't believe I did it. I'm so thankful for all these people, to the people that are at the end of their careers and they're winning Hall of Fame awards, and saying like, this is what I've learned on, you know, my crazy journey of what this is. So we've really gotten to work with folks at all levels of that, which has been really fun and really rewarding.
Okay, I love that. So for a minute there, I was a little concerned that you're like, wow, healthcare is boring. You know what it would be such an exciting leap for us would be to go all the way to financial planners.
Not quite.
I was like, how many beers in this carpet on the walls place did you have exactly? So, okay. So I love how that kind of transpired and how you ended up. And, you know, and it's funny because yeah, I think at first blush, financial planning is not exactly like the most like sexy industry that you could be involved with, but there's such a human element to what we do. And there's so much humanity in helping individuals prepare for unexpected, you know, joyful moments, not so great moments. So I think there is a lot of, I don't know, I've been in the planning world and I think I'm fun. So, and I know there's a lot of advisors out there who are really fun too. So, okay, cool. Okay. So Erica has invited you to kind of start telling the story. You get involved with Thrivent. We obviously have a ton of listeners from Thrivent and lots of other broker dealers, RIAs, boutiques, independents, hybrids, kind of all over the place. So thinking about advisors listening, like, okay, tell us, where do you get started with a financial planner? And then I'm just going to let you do your thing.
Yeah. So where we start with financial planners is really trying to figure out, who are they trying to talk to? Do they have a niche? Do they have a particular type of person that they're wanting to either connect with or work with? And so we use a framework called the Hero's Journey. And the Hero's Journey is a storytelling framework as old as time. Almost every major movie that you've ever seen follows the Hero's Journey framework. So like, Libby, do you have a favorite movie?
Let's go. My kids are super into Star Wars right now, so let's go Star Wars.
Well, that makes it just painfully easy, right? And so as we think about like the whole franchise, there are a few different heroes in it, but who's the most obvious hero?
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. And what is the battle? What is the challenge that he has?
The challenge is that he is wanting to become a Jedi and defeat the dark side.
Yeah. And who does he meet along the way?
So many people. He meets Yoda. He meets his sister. He meets Han Solo. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you're testing me on my Star Wars knowledge.
You're doing great. You're doing great. So if we think about who is the one who really gave him a plan on how to get to his Jedi ending?
Yoda,
right? And so what we challenge our financial advisors to do is really to position themselves as the Yoda to their client, being Luke Skywalker. And so as we do that, and as we kind of run through the hero's journey, it's really our character has a challenge. What is that challenge? And it might be different things to different folks. So as I'm 35, and so one of my challenges right now in the financial space is like, I went to a private liberal arts college, and I came out with a ton of debt, mm-hmm. right? And so my challenge is that I have debt. That's the external challenge, right? The internal challenge, how I feel about that is it makes me worried. It makes me feel like my peers are getting ahead of me. It makes me feel like I'm lesser than, because I have this debt where maybe some of my peers do not. Mm-hmm. So that challenge is external, internal, and philosophical. The philosophical challenge is, why is that just plain wrong? Well, in my case, my financial advisor, Connie, is like, it's just plain wrong because I can help you create a plan to not be in debt, or not feel like that debt is like side, or is holding you down. Mm-hmm. So once we identify the challenge, then we have to meet the guide. Right. So sales 101, in my humble opinion, is you have to, one, connect with them and say, I understand your problem. And two, this is why you should listen to me. Right. And so if it were Libby, the podcast host, it's, well, I connect with you one-on-one because I've been in your spot. I've been a financial advisor. I know what you're going through. And then your authority, so that's your empathy. Your authority is then, how many podcast episodes have you put out?
Oh, we're at like close to 80.
I put out 80 episodes, like empowering great financial advisors to do what they do, right? Then we give them a plan. That plan is a really simple 3-part plan, because that's what people can remember, right? If you think about if you're on fire, you're going to stop, drop, and roll, right? If you pull up to a railroad crossing, you're going to stop, look, listen, right? Stop, look, listen. I think that's right. Because we can remember 3 things as humans.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And then we start to call them to action. And so that's really like the path that we go through with them. And I'll provide this to you, but we actually have like a whole little map that we use to kind of guide people through exactly what this is.
Ooh, right? That's fancy. Yeah. I'm going to definitely want to see that. That looks amazing.
Yeah. And so as we think about it, as we talk this through with financial advisors, we really have to think about our character. Who are they now, and who do they want to be? right? And so that's their aspirational transformation. And we have to get those people to believe that they can get to their heroic ending. We have to help them believe that we are the people to help them transform to whatever that is.
Okay, I love that. So pick a niche that a financial advisors work with and give us an example of kind of what that hero's journey might look like. I'm totally putting you on the spot.
Totally cool. I love this. This is the type of stuff that I do every day. So let's say I'm going to pick on Connie. So Connie is my financial advisor. She's working with somebody more like my dad's age who is approaching retirement. So their brand story might follow something along the lines of, As a financial representative, I know that you are wanting to save for retirement because you want to live your best life. In order to do that, you need to make sure that your finances are secure, that you have income, and that you have enough for medical savings or whatever that might be. The problem right now is that you don't know where those buckets of money are because they've been provided to you by employers over your 50-year career. That has you feeling anxious. It makes you feel like you are not ready to retire, and it doesn't empower you to live your best life in retirement. Well, that's just plain wrong, because I, Connie, have a plan for you on how you can float into retirement and have a great time, right? As Connie, I have worked with dozens of people as they've started their retirement journey. And I've helped X number of people do this through the process. So here's the plan. One, sit down with me and let's have a conversation about your goals and what you want to do in retirement. Two, let me go back and create a plan. And three, let's empower you to live your best life in retirement. So then we call them to action. So give me a call today at, 555-5555. And in the meantime, check out this piece of collateral that I've created that talks you through the 5 steps to retirement. So that way you can avoid feeling frustrated and annoyed and like you can't retire, and instead enjoy that cocktail on the beach.
Love. Okay, right? Great.
So it's something like that would be the script, but then we translate that into video, we translate it into writing, we translate it into all those different pieces.
So what is, like, when you're starting to work with an advisor, what's the best way to, for you guys or for even the advisor themselves, to really understand their voice?
So a couple of like really practical tips is we encourage folks to have a piece of paper sitting next to their desk. If they've heard a question 3 times, that means that it's time to create a piece of content around it, because lots of other people are thinking it, they're wondering it, but they don't necessarily know what to ask. And so if you can preemptively be feeding them that content, you're just going to be adding coins to that trust bucket on the front end.
Yeah. I want to enter in on the conversation that they're already having in their head. Is that a fair way of thinking about it?
Absolutely.
Or is that creepy? It might be a little creepy.
Well, I mean, it's a little creepy, but one of the things that I think you have going for you, and what I think you've demonstrated to your advisors, is these types of one-on-one conversations, it really is somebody else listening in to just a casual conversation. So as advisors are thinking about what are the best ways to get like everyday conversations out, it might be something as simple as creating a podcast where you just answer those questions that people are asking you on a daily basis.
Yeah. And it's probably easier for people to create content than they think. Like, mm-hmm. So do you suggest advisors like, okay, record yourself answering that question and then go back and like make it, do it kind of ugly. And because we never can recreate, like I guess you could try to create, like get client permission to record a conversation in a meeting. But sure. I know when people would be like, oh, well, tell me about how you position RMDs. It would always come out kind of clunky, but I felt like the more I did it, if I recorded it, I could actually kind of clean it up a little bit and then turn it into something a little bit fancier.
Absolutely. So as we work with folks specifically to find their writing voice, I think that is a really, really difficult one and a huge barrier. You look at a blank like word processing doc and you're like, where do I begin? Like, I've lost all information. I think a really easy way to do that is to grab some of those questions that you want to create content for. Have somebody that you trust, or an administrative assistant or a colleague or somebody like that. Just ask the question in the exact same way that you wrote it. And then you just start chatting about it. Right. And record it, obviously. And then use a tool like Temi or something along those lines to just transcribe it. It's going to be kind of ugly the first time you see it, but it can also help you clean that up. And then that becomes your talking points.
Okay. I love this. So how many different talking points do you suggest advisors have, or like, do you suggest they start with a certain amount, or when you're working with advisors, kind of build me from the ground up, like kind of like, what does that funnel look like? Where do they start? How much content do you think you really need to create to get going?
Sure. So we are big believers in what's called pillar content. So that might mean that you create one bigger piece of content and then you distribute it in a bunch of different ways. We have a funnel that we use at Tellwell that at any given point, you should be having one to three of these campaigns going at the same time. So the funnel is very simply introduce, educate, engage, and remind. Introduce is really, this is my surface level. This is who I am. This is my name. This is my business. This is what I do. Educate is where we go a little bit deeper and we understand the DNA. Do we align philosophically? Do we align socially? Do we align, like, can I work with you? Can I respect you? Can I do those different things? And those are very like, this is just who I am. This is what I believe in and how I do it. Engage is really where you ask for the sale. That's saying like, hey, if you agree with, you know, introduce and educate, then let's work together. Remind is a cycle that I think most people forget about. At least several of the financial advisors that I've worked with in the past have forgotten about this part. And remind is very simply remind people that you love them. And remind people that they love you, right? How often have you heard like, I had a great meeting with this financial advisor. We got a plan going. We're kind of humming along. But the only time I hear from them is every single year when it's time for my renewal date. That doesn't say that they love you. It doesn't say that you love them. It says that I think of you as a transaction. I think of you as a customer only and not like the relationship that we've taken so long to build. Mm-hmm. So that remind, I think, is maybe the most important and oftentimes the most overlooked part of that sales funnel.
Okay. Yeah. So for people listening, like I typically refer to it, like there's this business piece where it's like business to consumer. And that's kind of like the actual, like getting set up and getting planning and like getting you onto your accounts and like, here's how you do stuff. And then there's that human to human piece. So what you're really talking about here in this remind is that human to human element, like the making people feel like they're more than just an account number, that they're more than just one of the 150 clients in your book, that this is like a genuine back and forth, loving, caring relationship. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Just to give you a very quick example of how not to do it. Because here's the thing, if you're not going to invest in it, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. I got a birthday card. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago from a financial advisor that I was working with, not the one who I'm working with today. And this was actually what sealed the deal and what stopped me from working with him, including like all the benefits for our company, et cetera. I got a birthday card from him and it was very generic, right? The inside was printed out. And then his signature was stamped.
Ooh.
It was stamped. And like, it didn't even say Max, right? Like it wasn't personalized.
Hey,
it was just
guy,
like,
happy birthday, dear client. Happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Wishing you best birthday wishes. And then that stamp. And I was just like, I texted him the moment that I opened it. And I said, can you just not do this? Cause this is actually worse. This is like worse than actually getting nothing at all. The remind is really like, there's so many opportunities out there to just, especially as you're having conversations, as you're getting to know people, there's so many ways to remind them that you care about them. And if you think about how many people are connected on socials and things like that, there are so many little indicators that you can just have that one-to-one connection and make it super valuable. The remind also creates really great use cases and really great stories for when you want to get into something like a video or a testimonial series or things like that, because it's oftentimes those people that you invest in are also willing to invest in you as well.
I love that. Okay. So maybe give us, do you have kind of a couple like specific examples of what a remind might look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of my favorite reminds have come in the form of donuts. I love donuts, right? And there's a little donut shop downtown. And my financial advisor, one, knows that I love donuts and knows that I love a very specific type of donut, which is a maple. It's a maple bacon Long John. And so it's like maple frosting with bacon on top. And at different points throughout the year, either as like we've had a conversation where like I've shared about something difficult that was going on, or even just a random, just to be like, hey, hope you're well, hope all is great. She's just had one of those like delivered to my office, right? That's very convenient because we're in the same place. I would say one of the things that we do at Tellwell, we utilize, and I don't want to like, I hope we actually don't have too many people listening that like know us or maybe our clients. We use a couple of different tools that actually do like the handwriting of cards for you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
So we're able to create like handwritten cards that, you know, have a personalized message that is actually from Max. But guess what? Max is a millennial. So Max's hand cramps up a whole bunch whenever he tries to write anything. And so I type it out. Somebody with much better handwriting than me writes it, gets it off into the mail, and creates a really frictionless experience. You can do that. And you can create that one-to-one connection without too terribly much effort.
Okay. I love that. And if any of your clients are listening, the fact that you're still taking the time to type it up, it still shows every level of caring, whether you write it or somebody on your team writes it, or, you know, some stranger in Connecticut writes it for you.
Yeah. Just wait, do you use the same service? Cause I think they are in Connecticut.
No, I mean, there's a few services that I've like recommended to people throughout the years for certain things, but I've never used it, but that's really random.
I love it. So one of my favorite ones, and I know that you mentioned like you like tactical things and your listeners appreciate those things. I use a company called Sentwell, Sentwell. Okay. Now, no relation to Tellwell, just happens to have well in the name.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll totally link that in the show notes too. Okay. So you mentioned at any time we're going to be using one to three of these: introduce, educate, engage, or ask for the sale, and remind. Mm-hmm. How does an advisor do all? Like, how do we manage all of that? How do we know how many we should be running, where, when, how? Are we using video? Are we doing posts? Like, tell me kind of what that mix, or how do you figure out the right formula?
Yeah. So for us, video has been the most powerful way to really like start that conversation. And so oftentimes what we do is we think about, how do you take a one-to-one conversation and how do you make it one-to-many? Well, the way that we do that is we do it through video. And we oftentimes think of video as the ability to have that that conversation that happens in like a small town cafe. Like, we're from North Dakota, so small town cafes are really where you go for referrals. Like, you need to know who does X, Y, and Z best. Well, I'm going to ask Bob at coffee in the morning, right? And so we think of that as like mimicking the small town cafe. And we're able to do a couple of different things. One, the audience can hear your voice. A potential client can understand your speech cadence and really start to break down that barrier of like, who am I meeting with for the first time? Are they going to have a weird speech impediment? Are they high pitch? Are they low pitch? It takes away one of the reasons that as adults, we don't like to make new friends. And that's like that fear of the unknown, right? And so by just empowering people to like understand like, hey, this is what you look like, this is what you sound like, this is maybe not smell like, but once you break down those barriers, it just makes those first conversations so much easier because you've already invited them and they already know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, and I guess like a good example of that is the other day I was telling something to my mom and it was something I had seen like on Instagram, and the way I went to explain it was like, oh, well, this woman that I know. And I was like, I actually don't know her. Like, that's actually kind of creepy that I said it like that, but I feel like I know her because of all of the video.
Absolutely. And I would imagine that you, if you ever had the opportunity to meet her, you would feel more comfortable going and having a conversation. Now, this can get really creepy, right? Like this can scale to the point of like, you know, like Kardashians and those types of things. I mean, we're not going to be scaling to Kardashians, but like, you don't just want to like go up and be like, I saw your video, now let's be best friends. But if we invite a potential client, invite a potential investor into that conversation, it's a little bit different.
Okay. So 1 to 3 of these going at any time.
Mm-hmm. So the video is your pillar content, right? That's your introduce and your educate. Okay. So that can be running. You can be putting some dollars behind boosting that and to really get it in front of the folks that you want. Now, it is incredibly important that you do not just take a video that you probably paid anywhere from $7,000 to $15,000 to produce. And you put it out on YouTube and expect a bunch of people to get to it. It is incredibly important that you take that and you really create the activation content around it. So that means you take screenshots, you take little snippets of the video, you take one-liners and quotes and things like that from the video, and you create 10 to 15 to 30 different social posts, and you be publishing that with the call to action being, now go watch the video. Like if you enjoyed this little part, go watch the full video. That's really your engage at that point. Is the sale is getting them to watch and invest their time into watching kind of that full video.
Okay. I love that. All right. So we create new content and then we are expanding it through, I like this, activation content. Mm-hmm. Now, are we repurposing it as well?
100%. Okay. So with the crazy Facebook algorithms, the way they are, the likelihood that it's even touching 20% of your audience is very low. So we very much recommend you take one piece of content and you're going to figure out 10 to 15 different ways to use that single piece of content. And that comes in the form of reposting your own stuff and really trying to activate the folks like that.
Okay. I love that. So we start with finding our voice and figuring out what our voice is, who we're speaking to, how we want to speak to it, who we are, what it is that we're doing. We're getting them to fall in love with us over video. And I'm right there with you. I think video is, the statistics are undeniable on how powerful it is above and beyond just a still post or written articles or what have you. So then we create this funnel and we're talking about introducing our brand. We're educating, we're engaging, we're reminding. We're reminding them that we love them and they love us. We're taking this content, we're creating it, we're repurposing it. And then what? How do we continue to manage it moving forward? How often does an advisor need to create a new kind of core piece?
So it really depends on kind of what your appetite is, what your timeline or what your availability is as well. So for a new advisor that's getting out there, I think that new advisors actually have more opportunity to create really great content on a regular basis than what, like, I'm going to say our veteran established folks do. Mm-hmm. Simply because one of the expectations at Tellwell, and we encourage other folks to do this as well, is that if you're out in the community representing Tellwell, our expectation is that you take a picture, you take a selfie, and you post it to LinkedIn, you post it to Twitter, you post it to Facebook, whatever your professional accounts are. And so if you think about each one of those as creating a new piece of content, you have a ton of opportunities to create some really good supporting content. Right. And so as you think about these pillar pieces of content, we have clients that do like one a year. We have folks that more in the nonprofit space that will create one impact video a year, use that theme for the entire year, right? And then create a new piece in the next giving cycle. If you have the opportunity, I would not do more than like 3 to 4. I would say one really great piece of content per quarter would be an ideal state. But frankly, if you can get one good piece of pillar content and then be reusing that video, here's the truth is like, you will be sick of your marketing messages long before any of your audience is sick of your marketing messages, because it's likely that they've heard it for the first time.
Right, right. Well, and I always tell people that, like, you know, it's okay to repost something because such a small percentage saw it the first time around. So I think there's sometimes a barrier for advisors wanting to do social because they feel like, okay, if I'm going to post something every day, I need 30 pieces of content, or my people are going to go, wait a minute, I've seen that post before. But that's not
true. Can I give you a really simple rule that we use in social? And it's the 1-2-3 rule.
Yes. Okay. I'm like, yeah, hello. I love rules. I love checklists. Yes. Tell me the 1-2-3.
Okay. So the 1-2-3 rule, and you can apply this to what works for you. We recommend weekly to like a social media influencer. This would be a daily. To somebody that knows nothing about social, monthly. So let's talk an ideal state. Let's do this weekly. Weekly, we are going to commit to creating one new piece of content. Okay, that can be a selfie at the Lions Club where I'm going to go and talk about my financial advising practice, right? That could be, hey, I'm sponsoring the kickball tournament and I'm going to post like my logo that's on the banner, whatever that is. The entire time we're utilizing that hero's journey to position ourselves as the guide, to say like, hey, I am so proud of the Lions Club for empowering their members with really great speakers. And I'm really proud to have been one of those speakers that can like help guide them on their journey. So that one piece of content that we create per week. Two, we repost two different pieces. Okay. And so these are things that you find helpful. As a son of educators, one of the quickest ways, or in my opinion, one of the best ways to show somebody that you love them is to teach them something. And so if you have a piece of content that you've gotten, you found helpful, whether that be a fellow advisor or, you know, the national organization that you represent or however that works, repost two pieces of content. Okay. You can add your little flair to it. You can say, hey, this event is coming up and I'm really excited to be here. Maybe something as simple as that, mm-hmm. right? So repost two pieces of content and then interact with three pieces of content, right? And so if a fellow advisor is posting something, if the national organization, if a local charity is posting to their social feed, you want to be interacting with at least three of those pieces of content every single week. And the way the algorithms work, I'm not going to pretend to know all the digital whiz bangs and the, you know, the digital leprechauns these days, but the way that they work is that they're going to start to feed the folks that you're interacting with. They're going to see more of your content as well. And what's really nice is we create a little bit of a debt, right? If you're interacting with their content, they're going to feel obligated to interact with mm-hmm. your content as well. And so the more people that you have interacting with your content, the more the algorithms are going to put it in front of other folks. So okay. 1-2-3, one new piece of content, 2 reposts, 3 interactions.
Okay. I love that. I love rules. Give me a rule and I will follow it. And I love that you mentioned the hero's journey, because that was going to be one of my questions is, okay, well, how does that tie in? Like every piece of content, do we need to have all of the pieces from the framework, or are there certain pieces that we highlight, or tell me a little bit about how the framework overlays with all of these new content repost. Give me the kind of the goods on that.
As I think about how the hero's journey interacts with it, is really to position yourself always as the guide, and whoever that organization is always the hero. One of the very small ways that you see like our organization do that, and this is very different from other marketing agencies, most marketing agencies will post their clients' content natively to their social feed. So if Tellwell created a really sweet video, we could be posting that ourselves. Instead, what we do is we wait for our clients to post it, and then we will reshare that. That allows us to position ourselves as the guide. And we can say, hey, we are so thankful to the thriving Midwest Rockies region for, you know, hosting us and empowering us to share their story, right? So that makes, who are we thanking? We're thanking, you know, this financial organization and positioning ourselves as the guide so that way they can be the hero.
Okay. I love that. So empower you, we will. So that's what you're doing. You're the Yoda here in this.
Exactly.
Okay. I love this. Well, this has been extremely helpful. Can you share with advisors just a little bit more about how you specifically, how can they work with Tellwell to help draw that story out and to start building some of this content?
Yeah. So, at Tellwell, we, and this will sound familiar, but at Tellwell, we believe story is the most powerful way to educate, introduce a brand, educate and engage an audience and remind them why they love you. And so we really focus on kind of two key parts within that story framework now, which is really film, the activation around film as well. And so many documentary style pieces that share who you are, what you do, how you do it, and why it matters. And then branding. And so we actually help a lot of financial advisors find their voice by taking them through the Hero's Journey framework to empower them with a one-liner, to empower them with their own brand story that then they can be using to introduce themselves. I'm not sure how many of your financial advisors are from the Midwest, but in the Midwest, it is very not okay to talk about yourself, or at least that's what we've grown up believing. And so what we have really helped several financial advisors in our area do is to believe that by placing themselves as the guide, they can make their client the hero. That makes it a whole lot easier to talk about themselves and talk about the tools that can help get them to that heroic ending.
Okay. Yeah. No. So from the Midwest here, and I can remember the first couple of times I gave like keynotes and, or like was asked to speak somewhere. And they're like, well, tell us about your, like, and I just like, it felt so uncomfortable being like, well, I'm here to tell you how I ran $1 million practice working 3 days. Like, it just feels icky. And yes. And so I love this idea of like, well, it's easier for me to share success stories of advisors that I've worked with, versus like talking about me myself. Like, so or here's the tools that we created to do that. Like, let's glaze over that part. So I think that's a really interesting, point. Well, what other kind of amazing wisdom would you leave with advisors who are looking to create a story, looking to build more presence on social media? I hear it all the time. Like, I know I need to be doing it, but I'm not. How do we get over the stigma that it's hard? How do we help advisors make it easy?
Yeah. So I think by utilizing some of those very simple rules, like the 1-2-3 rule, not overcomplicating it. I think that if people just get into the habit of posting, they will find that it's a whole lot less scary. The other thing that I think people will find is that people will resonate with them when they feel more human, right? If you're out there trying to be the best financial or the best financial wizard there is out there and giving people tips and tricks and secrets and hacks and things like that, I don't think it's going to resonate with the types of folks that we're trying to talk to as financial advisors. Rather, just share what you know, right? Mm-hmm. Don't try to impress anybody with your knowledge, because it's likely that just your knowledge is going to impress them anyway. So rather than creating a persona, which I think is what a lot of us see on social today, are these personas of people who don't actually maybe know what they're talking about, but they're given credit because they've grown large audiences. Mm-hmm. Share what you know, but I think more importantly than that, share what you love, share your community, share your family, give people a glimpse into who you are as a person. And if they resonate with that, they're probably going to be a good client as well.
Okay. I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I know a lot of the ideas that you shared today and super specific tactical ideas with rules. Ugh, I love it. I know there will be at least some advisors listening today that this will help them get over that hump to start building a brand, to start feeling comfortable posting, to start telling their story. And I'm confident that that our conversation today will help people think differently about how they build that funnel, how they engage. So thank you so much for your time. I could literally just ask you like 1,000 social media questions for the next like 6 hours. We could have a 6 hour. We should do a series. We need a morning show, Max. I think that's really what it is. We need a morning show. Every day we'll talk about social media.
I'm into it.
Well, amazing. So I ask every guest at the end of the episode, if there's two things that they could share of, whether it's a tool, a resource, a software program, a mind hack, a simple planner, like whatever it is, what are two things as a business owner that have helped you work more efficiently?
Heck yes. Okay. So the first one, I have a show and tell, and I will provide you with a PDF of this as well. This is a tool that we developed in the very early days of Tellwell called the Daily 16. And so what it does is it breaks down your day into half hour chunks. From there, I'm sure you've heard of the Pomodoro method.
Yeah.
Also the tomato timer method.
Yes.
And it's basically where you work in 25 minute chunks, right? The human brain is not meant to work on something super specific for much longer than that. And so what we do is it's a little bit of a mind hack where you commit to working for that 25 minutes, shut out the socials, shut out the mobile devices, shut out as much of it as you can, work really diligently for that 25 minutes. And then you reward yourself after that 25 minutes with 5 minutes of free time. That's five minutes to do, to check those socials, to, you know, make sure that you didn't miss your B-reel or something like that. I think that's what the kids are doing these days.
I don't even know what that means. I'm like, oh crap, I'm
going to
have to Google it.
You know, I don't know what it is either. It's what I see the kids doing. So reward yourself with those 5 minutes, go and get another cup of coffee, go have a quick conversation, and then commit to your next 25 minutes. And I have a feeling if you were able to create the type of organization that you did working less time, it's probably because you were creating some of those efficiencies as well.
Yeah. So it's funny. I actually did an episode, I think it's called like 8 Habits to Work More Effectively. And I talked about how I use Pomodoro.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we even have like Pomodoro timers, like at our workstations. And so if people want to get really into it, they certainly can. So that's one.
Okay. Love it.
The second one is very simple, and it's one that I just adopted. So we are approaching 20 people at Tellwell, which is very exciting, but also like terrifying. One of the things that I've struggled with being a CEO, a fairly young CEO, where like I really want to be in all aspects of the business because I really love the business. I love the work that we do. I love creating film. I love doing design. I love creating brands. I love writing stories. I love doing all the things. What I found myself not doing was working on the business. I found myself working in the business. And so what I more recently have committed to is I have meetingless Wednesdays. And so every Wednesday, I don't take any meetings. And the team, specifically my project managers, very frustrated by this. Because then we cram them into the other, you know, 3.5 days in the week. But what I've done even beyond that is delegated the last 3 hours of every Wednesday to just dream and scheme. And so I listen to a ton of podcasts on a regular basis, and I have lots of ideas, and I have lots of like new things that we could try, but I've been running out of time to even think about how we could potentially implement them. And so that 3 hours is really dedicated to dreaming and scheming. There's no time in QuickBooks. There's no time in Asana or a project management tools during those 3 hours. It is just about like, what is the future of Tellwell, and what is the future of the work that I want to be doing that continues to bring me energy? So as appropriate, I would encourage you to carve out, even if it starts as an hour of just like dedicated work time, thinking about what you want the future of your business to be, what are the tactical things, and then breaking that down, right? To what are the tactical things that'll help get you there?
Yeah. Okay. I love that. So I always tell people, it's funny because when I get advisors, they're overwhelmed. They don't have time for it. I go, the best thing you can do is there's this crazy thing called a pen and a piece of paper. And if you leave all of your tech at your office and literally go to like a coffee shop or get a cup of coffee and go sit on a bench by a river somewhere and just give yourself an hour of just pure white space where there is no even opportunity to be distracted. It's amazing what comes out of your brain. Yeah. It really is. So the fact that you're doing that 3 hours a week is like mind blowing. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, at 20 employees, I'm sure too, like every time you build something when you're growing that rapidly and you establish good systems and processes, you probably have to like break it and refix it and kind of continue to do that. So I think that's with the amount of growth that you're having, that's probably really, really critically important. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you again so much. Please tell our listeners where they can connect with you.
So I would encourage you to connect with me on LinkedIn, MaxKringen, Max Kringen. Also, check out our socials. We produce a weekly blog, which is our photo blog. And we produce a ton of great content at Tellwell on how to best utilize video, how to best utilize branding and personal branding on our blog. And you can connect with us at wetellwell.com.
Great. And I'll link all of that in the show notes to make it super easy for everybody. Max, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and your expertise, and congratulations on the success that you're experiencing at Tellwell.
Thanks so much, Libby. And thanks for creating such a great welcoming environment to be able to share some knowledge and share some truths.
This was just fantastic. So thank you so much.
Thanks.
So I don't know about you, but I am here for Max's vibe and his energy. I just love talking to him, and he and I had some hysterical conversations that I wish would have been part of the recording. It was too funny. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was kind of a little like a potpourri of social media, content strategy, video, client experience, storytelling, just sort of a little bit of everything. So I would love to chat more about this over in the Efficient Advisor on community over on Facebook. And by the way, this community is just straight killing it lately. It's been so fun to watch it grow and to really see it turn into a place where advisors can be in community with other advisors from all walks of advisor life, right? We've got people from RIAs and boutiques working with broker dealers and independents and hybrids and advisors in Australia and the UK. And it's just been really fun to see everybody kind of pouring into each other and answering questions and posting questions. It's just been super cool. So if you're in the community, you are amazing. Thank you. Love it. If you're not, feel free to join us. I'll have the link over in the show notes. Also, I hang out on LinkedIn and produce different content over there. So I'd love to see you there. I'm looking at doing some LinkedIn lives here soon in 2023. So that should be fun. But anyway, I hope you guys have an amazing week. I hope you can take one or two of the tidbits that Max dropped this week and really integrate that into your upcoming social media strategy. Thanks so much and have an amazing rest of your week.